I'm going to talk about something that is very intensely practical to your lives. I'm going to talk about spiritual gifts. And I'm going to talk about what your spiritual gift is. Now, you're going to be like kind of, if you've been in these conversations before, you're going to kind of be like, oh, I wonder what mine is. That is going to be more for next week. But I want you to be thinking about it today. And I want to talk about what are spiritual gifts. In my time here, I haven't preached a singular message. I've talked about spiritual gifts, but we haven't talked in a concentrated way about spiritual gifts like we're going to do this week and next week. Next week, I'm going to talk about how do I know my spiritual gift. We've got a lot of questions. If you've been in church, you've had questions about what is my spiritual gift? Do I even have a spiritual gift? There will be a little bit of overlap today and next week, but I think the overlap is going to help. I want you to remember, or at least consider, that in the book of Corinthians, there are three whole chapters on this. So you think about a church that had a lot of problems. To spend three entire chapters of the book on spiritual gifts is pretty significant. So we can at least spend two Sundays on the subject to take a look at it. I want to give you a definition. Here's a definition. There's lots of different ways we could define it. This is mine as I studied for these messages. A spiritual gift is an ability given to each Christian. Now, let me stop there and say, I'm going to point this out more next week. If you are a Christian, you have a spiritual gift. You do. It is not a matter of if, it is you do. That's what the Bible is going to indicate to us. So, a spiritual gift is an ability given to each Christian by the Holy Spirit for the common good of the local church to accomplish its purpose of making Jesus known, thus bringing honor to God. I know that's a little bit of a mouthful, but it's encapsulating what's there. An ability given to each Christian by the Spirit of God for the common good of the local church to accomplish its purpose of making Jesus known, thus bringing honor to God. There are four places in the New Testament that talk about spiritual gifts. Let me list them for you. There is Romans chapter 12. It's a section in there. There is 1 Corinthians 12, which we'll be in today. There's Ephesians 4, and there's 1 Peter 4. So those four places in the New Testament talk about spiritual gifts. Now, let me read for you the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 12. Here they are. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, and I know I do this every single time, but I want you to get this. You will see in other translations that there will be a supplied brothers and sisters. All right, so this is not just to men. This is to all within the congregation who are Christians. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed, which means they were uninformed, if he's saying that. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, stop right there. You ever come to passages in the Bible? I know you have. And you're like, I have no idea what this means. I want to get to a verse where I can hold on to it. And it's a blessing to me. You know, we read over that and we're like, I have no idea how this even relates. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. Verse 4. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. You note what's being said here. You note what he's emphasizing. There are varieties of service, same Lord. Varieties of activities, same God, who empowers them all in everyone. To each, here it is again, this is why we say to each Christian, every Christian, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to the another, various kinds of tongues, to the another, the interpretation of tongues. Let me just say, I'm not talking about tongues in this message. I'll only refer to it briefly, probably next week. Probably needs an entire message on it. Verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to, note it says again, each one individually. So if you're in a family and you have a member of the family that serves in some way in the church, that is not the spiritual gift of the family. That's the spiritual gift of as an individual. Now, other members of the family may serve alongside, especially children with their parents. But to each one, that means each teenager in here today, if you are a Christian, you have a spiritual gift. That means each college student, you have a spiritual gift. That means each older person, by the way, these spiritual gifts do not have an expiration date on them. So spiritual gifts don't retire. You have spiritual gifts given to you for the remainder of your life to each individual person. That's what the Scripture says. Now, a couple points for this message today. What do I need to know about spiritual gifts? So, there's so many things that we can talk about here. I'm not going to define the lists today. I'll do that briefly next week. I'll go through some segments of what the Scripture... Here's something interesting about all four of the sections where spiritual gifts are talked about. Those sections are not in agreement, lockstep, with each of the gifts. There are differing gifts in each of those sections. What we're led to believe is that there are dozens, maybe hundreds, of spiritual gifts that are given. It's not a list of six, and you can kind of pick amongst the six, but God the Spirit gives to us as He desires for the common good of the local church. So what do I need to know about spiritual gifts? Now, admittedly, what I'm about ready to say is not as interesting, perhaps, as like me defining a gift and you saying, oh, I think I have that or I don't have that. But this is what Paul wanted them to know. And so this is important for us to know about spiritual gifts. He says in verse 1, the very first thing he says, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, just a little heads up about the book of Corinthians. 1st and 2nd Corinthians are letters that are written to the church at Corinth in response to questions they had. So when you come to the book of 1 Corinthians, and Paul's giving something out, it is most likely in answer to a question that they have asked. Because there were letters that go back and forth, the books reference those letters. The question is, what is the question they're asking that he's answering to? What are they specifically asking about spiritual gifts that's causing him to answer the way that he's answering in the book? Now, the beginning here, not to get too technical, but the beginning here in verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts. If you have a different translation of the Bible, it may say something different, like this. Now concerning spiritual people. Now concerning the spirituals. The word gift, or the word that's used there that's being translated spiritual gifts, has some elasticity to it. And so what we believe is that Paul is answering to their asking questions about who are spiritual people in the church. Who are the spiritual people in the church? So a question could be something like this. Follow me. Does the evidence of spiritual abilities mean that we are a truly spiritual church? It's very important to establish what they could have been asking, because it doesn't make any sense, some of what he's saying, unless we come up with a question. So what we believe they're asking is, does the evidence of spiritual abilities mean that we are a truly spiritual church? Now, if I ask you that question, you would just say, probably, well, no. To which my question back would be, why do you say that? How do you know that? How do you know if you're seeing some evidences of spiritual things? Things that you could point to and say, wow, that's amazing. God did that and God used you to do that. Well, see that answer to prayer coming, but wow, that's amazing. Praise God. And so what's happening here is the church is saying, does the evidence of that mean that we are a spiritual church? What's even more interesting about this whole discussion is if you were to go back to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 7, he says, this is amazing, folks, you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. So this church had every spiritual gift that Paul could think of. At least Paul's saying, you don't lack in anything. You've got it all. But here's the thing, folks, about the book of Corinthians. The book of Corinthians is not about a spiritual church. The book of Corinthians is about a what? A carnal church. This church had some majorly bad stuff going on. They really did. So they're asking the question, because some of that stuff's coming to light, some of that stuff they knew about. They didn't even need it to be brought to light. And so they're kind of weighing here. We've got a church that Paul is saying, we've got all the spiritual gifts. There's a lot of stuff going on in our church. There's a lot of miracles happening. There's a lot of spiritual activity in our church. Paul, does the evidence of that mean that we are truly spiritual people? That we are a church, and we could even say this, that we are a church that God approves of? This is probably the question that's being asked. Great music, great preaching, giving people, very organized. But, chapter 5, they have a guy that's living in open sin. Chapter 6, they're suing each other. Chapter 1, it was read this morning, you've got, if you were to talk to people in the church at Corinth, one guy says, you know what, this is my man. Paul, he's my man. Another guy over here, Paul, he's not my man. He's got some problems, man. He's kind of weak. Cephas, he's the man. He's my man. And then you had the crowd. There's always a crowd like this in every church. Like, I don't follow men, I follow God. You know, it's usually like a, you know, like a way of saying God. You know, it's just like more spiritual to say it that way. And so it's like, I don't follow people, I follow God. We follow Him. So you have these divisions in the church, and Paul is coming to the church and saying, whoa, 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 whoa. We can't have these divisions, but here's the thing, folks, on the other side, there's a lot of spiritual activity that's going on. Now, this is hard for us to understand, but this is what is being pointed out here. So, why is Paul answering in 1 Corinthians 12 the way he is? And I'm going to give you three things to think about that I think he's causing them to think about. Number one, basically, but very importantly, are you a Christian? So if they're asking the question, which I think they are, Paul, does the evidence of spiritual activities and abilities among people mean that we are a church approved by God and that we are a truly spiritual church? He's coming back with, first of all, you have to ask yourself a question. Are you a Christian? This is the argument that's given in verses 1 through 3. What he's saying is when you are not a Christian, you are being led about by non-Christian ways. When you are not a Christian, you are being led about in ways that in some ways you didn't have control over it. You just did it. That's just the way it was. Because you are not a follower of God. But a Christian, he's saying, a Christian is a person who is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's going to live that way. Now, he's not saying all of that in a long explanation, but this is why we believe he's putting in there this whole thing about Jesus being accursed or not. What he's saying is, are you a Christian? Because you're asking me the question, do spiritual abilities imply that there must be a spiritual church here? Because if we are a spiritual church, just to draw it out, then all of this stuff you're telling us is wrong may not be as bad as what you're saying, Paul. By the way, just not to take us on a red herring on this thing, but this is one of the reasons why, folks, it is so incredibly difficult when someone has accomplished some incredible things for God and yet has major flaws, that some people who followed this over here cannot and will not accept the flaws whatsoever. So you take an example like a Ravi Zacharias. Ravi Zacharias did an incredible service to the area of apologetics. So much so that it is impossible not to recognize a gift there. To be able to explain things in a way. There's also, without any question, some incredibly bad debauched behavior. And I'm not saying this is your case or that I've heard this here, but there are people who are literally going to deny that till for the rest of their lives, because the argument is, how then could someone who's being so used of God have done things that bad? And I would just simply reference the book of Corinth is showing us that every spiritual gift is at work in that church. But there is some incredibly debauched behavior going on in that church at the same time. And it doesn't seem to jive, but they're asking about it. And Paul's first response back is, you have to think about whether you're in the faith. This is most important. Secondly, are you taking steps to walk in the Spirit? Are you taking steps to walk in the Spirit? I'm saying this because in the discussion in 1 Corinthians 12, a lot, if you were just to take the three persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and I were just to ask you, who is being talked about here more than anybody else, you would obviously say the Spirit of God. So my question that I think is Paul is pressing upon us here to ask is this: are we taking steps to walk in the Spirit? Go back again. I don't mean to be overly repetitive, but they're asking the question, does the presence of spiritual abilities mean that we are a spiritual church? Let's just make it personal. Does the fact that I am doing things actively in service for God mean that I am a spiritual person? Paul's question back is, number one, are you a Christian? Because a Christian confesses Jesus as Lord. He has the right starting point, but then he goes from there and walks in the Spirit. Because if the Spirit is giving the gift, if the Spirit is empowering the gift, then we need to walk in the Spirit. Now, this is not a message about walking in the Spirit, but could I simply appeal to a very common verse that's easily understood? Ephesians 5:18, do not be controlled by alcohol. Everybody from ancient times understands what it's like to be under the influence of drunkenness and to not have control of faculties. He says, don't be controlled by that. Don't be under that influence, losing that control. You be controlled by the Spirit of God. Even as alcohol can influence the mind, the body, the whole being, so be influenced by your whole being by the Spirit of God. Are you taking steps to walk in the Spirit? And then number three, are you working to live at peace with other Christians? Now, here's why I'm saying this from the text. Verse 4 on says, and I emphasized this when I read it, same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. Folks, there's a reason Paul keeps going one, 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 one. And the verses that were read today, there were divisions in the church. So Paul says in Ephesians or 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let there be no divisions among you, but be of the same mind. And you and I, secretly in our hearts, are like, yeah, right. Come on. Are you serious? Any of us who have been in church for any length of time, are we going to be one on anything? I mean, what does it even mean to be of the same mind? Well, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean the pastor says it and everybody does it. I can tell you it doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that if we were the proverbial changing of the color of the carpet in the church that we all, you know, we are all going to agree that our favorite color is... Let's just try it. You say out your favorite color. You say your favorite color, okay? I'm not going to point you out and make you come up or anything. You just say your favorite color. We're going to change the color of the carpet in the church. And the color of the carpet needs to be... See, we all agree. It all sounded to me like blue, is what it sounded like. How many of you think, because we're in Eagles country, it ought to be green? Yeah. Green carpet, that just feels kind of weird, but... Is that what it means? Does it mean that we just decide on the same color of the carpet?
Amen.
I think we oversimplify some of this sometimes, kind of like we don't recognize God's created us with individual opinions. Hey, the midterm elections are coming up. Yeah, I'm going there, huh? Yeah. We're all going to vote for... No, I didn't mean you to input that one, right? I should have been clear. No, seriously, there's some people that think we come into a church, we all vote for the same people. We're all the same political party. We're all the same football team. We all like a certain kind of hot wings. You know, we just all the same. So the idea here isn't that we just kind of pick whatever it is in life and we just say, you all have to agree on that. What was happening here, folks, is there were splinterings off that were creating divisions in the body, and at the same time, there were miracles happening. It says there are gifts of miracles, and they had that gift. There were healings. That was going on. And there were probably people that walked out of services in carnality thinking to themselves, hey man, I was part of a miracle today, but I'm okay. I guess my sin's okay. God passed it over because there was stuff going on. I participated in spiritual activity. And what Paul is trying to help people to see here is that there is diversity in the body, but it is the same Spirit, it is the same Lord, it is the same God. Now, I understand I didn't take care of all of, like, how do we decide on the color of the carpet kind of questions. All I'm saying is right here, he's pressing that, and he's not giving lots of explanation. He's just saying, same. There's a couple scary things from this discussion so far I just want to point out, and I want us to think about how scary they are. You can do spiritual things and have really bad character. This is what's scary, folks. If you think just because, like, if the thought in your mind is you've got to have really good character to do really spiritual things, that's just simply not true. Now, that's ideal, that we be growing our character and be serving God. But here's the scary thing. You can do some incredible spiritual things, but have really bad character. Now, I could take an off-ramp on this and say, this is why we need to be known by people. This is why I, as the pastor, need to be known by people. You know why? Because it sounds to me like this is a temptation Satan imposes upon Christian people, that you act a certain way, but you're not that way at all. That he's even willing to give enough rope for you to do some really spiritual things, so long as you stay in some really bad character. that he's okay with me preaching a zinger of a whopper of a message that people walk out the door and be like, wow, that's the best message I ever heard on X subject. But my character is bad. He's okay with that. This is why we need to be known from the smallest to the old, the youngest to the oldest. Every one of us. And this is why I'm going to press it upon us, why community groups are so essential and small groups. Because right now, you have no idea what's going on with my character. I mean, you can make some judgments. You can say, oh, he seems like a nice guy, or he's not a nice guy, or whatever. But you don't know my character. You have no idea. And I don't know yours either. No idea. And it takes time in a small group to be able to trust one another. This is why accountability is so important. This is why James tells us to confess our faults to one another. You know, with confessing things to one another, we are masters at confessing things that even make ourselves look better. That we're willing to be vulnerable as long as it has a little shine to it. But the moment when we're vulnerable and it's like ugly and people are like, that's when we don't want. That's when we're kind of scared of what we just said. This is why we need to be known by people. Just want to point this out before I move on to the second point. If you feel like maybe I'm elongating the point a little too much, I want you to think about this, all right? And not that I think you are, but I want to come back to this. Again, there are three chapters in the book of Corinthians on this. This is to me stunning. There are three chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. I'm not insulting anybody's intelligence. I'm just accentuating a point. Between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 is what chapter? The biggest chapter in the entire Bible on love. Now, we hear that at weddings. We read that for various occasions. But we don't put it together with the whole concept of spiritual gifts. So let me ask the question again. The Corinthians, does the evidence of spiritual abilities mean that we are a spiritual church? And Paul says, I have a few things to say, but you're missing the most important thing. You don't love each other. The greatest of these is love. Listen to what he says. This is probably to me the most stunning verse in the 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. He says, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am what? What does it say? I am what? Now, here's the deal, folks. He's giving these illustrations in a church that they have all the gifts. So you have to believe that when the pastors of the church were launching new initiatives in Corinth, that there was the kind of faith that was being exercised that Paul's talking about here, the kind of faith to move mountains. They have an offering. Whoa! And they have this effort. Wow! And it just, you leave church and you are just on a spiritual high. And Paul's coming back and he's kind of throwing this big love wet blanket over the whole thing. And he's saying, look, you have all that stuff, but there's something you're missing that's greater than all of that. And that's love. So let's set your question aside. It's not an unimportant question, but let's put another question. I'm going to ask you, are you loving one another? Now, the second part of this message this morning, and the part I want to conclude on, what are the gifts accomplishing? So what does Paul want us to know about the gifts initially? And it's not like, you know, it's like, oh, what is my gift? I think I'm a discerning person. What is he going to say about discernment? It's not quenching that. It's like, are you a Christian? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you learning to walk in the Spirit? Are you sensitive to the Spirit? And are you seeking to really, in a Holy Spirit way, get along with other Christians in the assembly? So what are these gifts accomplishing? Number one, spiritual gifts ultimately point us to the greatness of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. So we sing a song here that makes your heart swell in worship. You may even lift your hands, but your heart is lifted up in worship to God. And you may on occasion, even quietly or out loud, be like, amen, or you may want to clap, or you may want to do something. Because that song is so worshipful. When Paul described gifts operating in the local church and how they all operate together, he burst out in a worshipful moment. Why? Because the people were so awesome? No, because they pointed to an awesome God. And he was like, how can these people possibly get along and how could they do this? It's God. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the ultimate purpose of spiritual gifts, folks. When we're not using our spiritual gifts, we are cutting off people's opportunities to praise God. So, oh, no, we're not. They can do that during the music. I don't want to say the music is a small part of it, but it's a part of it, folks. It's a part of it. And by the way, not everybody can be involved in this. Let me answer a common question. I'm only going to do it really briefly, but I'll talk about it more next week because I need to keep moving on. Are spiritual gifts and natural gifts the same thing? So this question comes up. It's kind of like, am I kind of like this over here during the week? And then it's like the Superman in a phone booth, kind of like spiritual gift, and I'm doing something totally different over here. Or is what I do during the week, can that possibly be used over here, and how is it different? Well, let me just give a very simple illustration. There are people who do this every week. Not one time in my years as a Christian have I ever come across somebody in a music ministry who all of a sudden became a Christian, joined a church, and instantaneously had no musical ability before, and whew, it all came upon them. Not a one. I have been striving to live as a Christian, sometimes better than others. I don't even know when the better than others are, but I've been striving to live as a Christian since I was 9 years old. I believe I have a spiritual gift. I have never walked up to a piano and started playing and it made any sense at all. I can't do it. These people can play these gifts, can do these gifts outside of here. And it's not like they do them like really, really well here and all of a sudden they just can't do it as well outside of here because they walk in the building and God gives them a little kind of a soup up gift. Sometimes God takes what we already are and uses it specifically in the body of Christ in ways that He's not doing over here, or to the extent He's doing over here, but in ways over here that are bringing glory to Him, that's not being done at your job. They're not giving glory to God by what you do, but over here, you use your gifts and they're bringing glory to God. What are spiritual gifts accomplishing? They're bringing glory and greatness to God. Secret confession time. I'm asking this from you. And again, don't say it out loud, all right? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have all of Sunday free? I'm talking free to get stuff done, free to go hiking. Have you ever walked into Walmart after church on Sunday because you had to get something real quick to go home and make dinner because then you had to get off to some church activity, and you see people kind of lazily walking around in Walmart? In the back of your mind, you thought to yourself, I wish I could do that at Lowe's all day on Sunday and not feel guilty about it. Again, I'm not down on people who aren't in church. I'm just saying for those of us who are churchgoers, have you ever wondered that? Why do you show up? Why do you show up? You know, there's a lot of risk in showing up here. There's a lot of hassle in showing up here. There's a lot of risk in developing relationships within a body like this because you don't know what they're going to do. You don't know how they're going to turn out. And so at times it can seem like it is so much easier to not do this. But can I say that spiritual gifts in the body of Christ is giving an opportunity for people to be able to say, God is great. That when you show up and when your gifts are operational and when you're doing, even though you may think it's imperfect, it gives people the opportunity to say, God is great, and that should be enough. Should be no surprise that Satan gets us distracted from this. That he gets us distracted from doing lots of other things. Lots of other things away from and outside of the body of Christ that distract us from this purpose of people having an opportunity to give glory to God. Number two, spiritual gifts are to strengthen the faith of others. Listen to this. This is amazing. Romans chapter 1. Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, by yours and mine." Let me say that again. To impart some spiritual gift to what? To strengthen you. The word strengthen there is a word that's also used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. He says this, "We sent Timothy, our brother, and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ to establish." That's the word. To strengthen and exhort you in your faith. The last verse of 1 Thessalonians 3 says, "As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith." You know what happened when every one of us showed up today? If you are a Christian, you have something, as do I, that's lacking in my faith. I am not going to be completely whole until I'm in heaven someday. And do you know how God strengthens our faith? He doesn't just download pieces of character to us. He uses each other in the operation of our gifts. So that means, folks, when you walk in the door and Charlie's there shaking hands and greeting, it's a spiritual gift to strengthen faith. That means when there's coffee. That means when there's ushers. That means when there's nursery. That means when there's stuff going on. That's there to strengthen faith. You strengthened somebody's faith today. It's not just me doing that because I'm talking, or these people doing that because they're singing. It's people up in the sound booth. It's all kinds of various ways that we operate to strengthen the faith of others. This is so important. Have you ever thought about the fact when you get up in the morning on a Sunday and you're just like, whew, I don't know if I want to go today. I'm not saying that because you're a bad person. We all feel like that. We dropped our daughter off yesterday and you know what I feel like inside? Like a balloon, like the balloon. That's what I feel like right now. That's after coffee. That's what I feel like right now. Did I feel like getting up and going? No, I didn't. Not because I'm unspiritual. I just didn't feel it. I didn't feel it. But does it matter to know that you're showing up and operating in a spiritual gift is strengthening the faith of other people? When I thought about this, I thought about a guy in my church, my home church growing up, Canton Baptist Temple. I've mentioned this numbers of times, large church, television ministry and all this. And I grew up there as a teenager, young kid. And we're sitting there, this large crowd, and the choir, we always had this enormous choir because our choir guy was just a big shot kind of guy with it. He just was really good at it. And it was on TV and all this. There was a guy that sat in the front. And this guy, and I've all week I'm like, should I try to act like it? Should I try not? I can't. This guy, I never heard him in a group. Our church had lots of groups, and it was really into Southern gospel music and all that. So we had, and they were like really good groups, and we had the Cathedral Quartet at our church, all that stuff. This guy, I never heard him in one of those groups. But as our choir sang every Sunday, he looked ridiculously happy. And when I say ridiculously, so much so that we as teenagers made fun of him. And we had our own teen choir and stuff, and occasionally, I can't remember what the guy's name was, but occasionally a teenager would be like, "Hey, you be like Mr. So-and-so," ah, you know, and sing like that, and we would But it was all in good fun because we loved the guy. Now, as a teenager who grew up with lots of home struggles and who showed up and internally, that guy strengthened my faith. Do you know how he strengthened my faith? Because when I saw him, I saw a guy who was happy at church. And it gave me in my mind a possibility that you could be happy at church. That's it. That's it. Seems like a small thing, but it is a big thing when you operate in your spiritual gift. When you get busy serving Jesus, it matters. It strengthens. It does something. Number three, spiritual gifts are to edify and to build up the body of Christ, the local church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Listen, "but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Grace given to each. Where are gifts in this? In Ephesians chapter 4, where are the gifts in this? Listen, Romans 12, "having gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Then what happens in Ephesians 4 in verse 11, he says that God gives leaders, and those leaders equipped to build the body, so that in Ephesians 4:16, "from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly." Is it possible that churches work improperly? Yes. So he says, everybody, in order for this to work, every one of you that calls yourself a Christian that's in attendance here, you need to be a part of this for this to work properly. And what happens? When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. 1 Corinthians 12:7, "to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." I want to impress this local church part of this, that your giftedness can benefit other people out there, right? I mean, somebody could invite me, and I've had this happen, to go speak at an event or at a something to talk about whatever, you know. Sure, that can bless people. But these passages target people using gifts in a local church. And that in that local church, that body of people is strengthened and it is built up for the common good. This means spiritual gifts are for each local church. And spiritual gifts include every joint that helps the body to work properly. Now, in verse 16 of Ephesians 4, did you note the word joint? Here's what it says. "The whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped." I want to conclude on talking about joints a little bit, because I think when we talk about gifts next week, there's two divisions of gifts. There are primarily speaking gifts and there are serving gifts according to 1 Peter chapter 4. But within those, there's lots of different designations. And I think the speaking ones get more attention, obviously, because those are the ones you're looking at. But I want you to note, it says the whole body joined and held together by every joint. It doesn't say held together by the mouth. It doesn't say held together by the eyeballs. It doesn't say held together by the heart. It says held together by every joint. Now, I've got a pre-selected illustration here. Newt, come on up. We're about to enter into some of our favorite season, football season. Go ahead and give me a pass. All right. And right now, all the joints are working properly. How many joints does it take to throw a football? I didn't figure it out. I don't want to figure it out. I just know it's a lot, right? It's a lot that occurs in the hand to be able to do that. Okay? It's not only in the hand, it's in the wrist, it's in the arm. Now, what if I use no joints in my hand to throw a football? You ever tried it? Try it. I cannot grip the football, so the best I can do is this. All right? Excellent. I want to point out that when Tom Brady throws a football, when Jalen Hurts throws a football, when Dak Prescott throws a football, is there anybody else I need to mention so I don't offend anybody? Anybody else? I said the main ones. Anybody else? Aaron Rodgers throws a football. Nobody, when these guys throw a football, says, man, that guy's got awesome joints. Nobody. They say things like, what an arm. What a read. What a mind. When these guys throw a football. But if these guys didn't have operation, by the way, have you ever had problems with your joints? Big deal, isn't it? Big deal when you have problems with the joints. So, I'm gonna try to throw a football with no operational joints in my fingers, in my wrists, or in my elbows. Alright? I was in my mind thinking about this without, I do have a chiropractor appointment on Tuesday. Give it a shot. Not bad. You can still do it, right? That's as far as I can go in my mind. Like, I can't do it without, like, no shoulder. Like, what do you do with no shoulder? Is this a joint, by the way? Is it? Okay. I don't know. I don't know what it's called. I've been out of school a long time. But I don't know how to do it without doing something in my shoulders. Like, or something, you know, in the body. If you cannot literally. So, what is it like to be in a church with no joints? Or with joints that don't work properly? It's having a lot of good ideas without the connectors to advance the ball. That's what it's like. So, Tom Brady goes into, Jalen Hurts goes into, I say Tom Brady all the time just because he's, he and I are kind of similar age, you know, and we're kind of, I can't relate to the younger quarterback, but I'm going to try to switch that to Jalen Hurts. You know, these guys go into the huddle, they're given the play. Now, everybody has to work together with the joints they have to advance the ball. Let me ask you a question. You can stay up just for a second longer. Did you enjoy that pizza thing last week? Absolutely. I mean, I had to leave to go take our speaker to lunch, and I heard people the next week say, man, that was so nice. And I know it wasn't just the pizza, because I've said before, cheese pizza is not real pizza. It doesn't become real pizza until something gets slapped on it. But it was pizza, and there were people together, and it was nice weather, and it was enjoyable. I don't say any of this to embarrass anybody, but you know how that happened? A few months ago, asked Liz Burrow, hey, could this work? Here's the response back. I'll take care of it. Do you know what that was? It was a joint. It was a joint. I don't say this at all. Nobody said this to me recently, so don't think, oh, he's talking about me. But have you ever been in a situation where it's like, hey, man, I need this help this week. Could you help with that? And it's like, well, let me pray about it and get back with you 2 weeks from now. All right? I understand we need to pray about things. We need to check. We need to evaluate our schedules. We need to be careful. I understand. Listen, I understand all of that. I do. I understand what it's like to burn out in ministry. I've watched people burn out in ministry. That's not what we're after. Because why? Because we want transformation and not attractional growth. But we need connectors. We need people to say, I'll do it. I'll do it. Yeah, give it to me. I'll do it. Again, not trying to embarrass whatever. But was able to visit with Patty this week. Teaches here at Upper Bucks. Horrible year. Broke a bone. I'm not going to say all of what she told me because I think we say too much health information sometimes. It's like we have HIPAA laws unless we're in church, you know, unless we tell everything. We're not going to do that. She told me about, I was on vacation, she told me about an absolutely atrocious month. I couldn't believe the stuff that happened to her last month. And this is like, she's getting back. Like, I called her this week to ask her something, And I was like, where are you? And she's like, I'm in the building. I was like, oh, I am too. So I went over and I was like, I can't believe you're here. So we sat down with each other. Here's what she told me. I wanted to find out. Two women, Ruth Harris and Elma Steffen, helping her to get to appointments, lifting wheelchairs in and out of cars. I know there's a lot of people to help Patty, so I hesitate because I know a lot of people. But this was just in this story. It's two elderly women. Hopefully they're not offended I just said that. But they're very spry, youthful people. Lugging wheelchairs, man. This ain't no featherlight wheelchair either. Connectors. You know what that is? It's like you get a sticky note. Somebody needs to take care of Patty. I was like, but you know what these women did? I'll do it. Touchdown. I just wonder, I think that's good. Thank you. Do you feel like we used you enough? All right, you're good, man. You're good. You look good, too. This is what we need. We need connectors. I'll do it. Hey, I'll take care of it. Hey, don't you worry about it. Those are the joints. I know what some of you think. You're like, I'm this right here. I don't ever get to be the voice. I don't ever get to be the this. Throw me a football, by the way, one more time. Let's see if we can try this one. Good. What if you couldn't bend that finger? You're trying to throw a football. Is that joint important? Absolutely it's important, man. If Tom Brady was out there throwing footballs like this, we'd be like, whoa, that would blow up his memes on social media. No way he'd get the yardage he gets. That's important right there. But more importantly than just advancing causes at church, what's more important than that is that when you operate, people are like, God is an awesome God. God is an awesome God. People's faith is strengthened. Why do you need to show up? You need to show up. I'm not talking about just your body here. I'm talking about your gifts here. Because people's faith is strengthened and God is glorified. Father, thank you for our time together today. I pray that as we leave this place, having considered our gifts, that you, the Spirit, would impress upon us genuine spirituality, where we're walking in the Spirit, striving to walk in the Spirit, repenting of sin, fighting against sin, not being two-faced, doing a gift on the one hand, doing an activity on the one hand, but on the other hand, bad character. God, help us to be unified with one another. Help us not to be angry with one another. We may not be physically suing one another, but we may be making each other pay for things. God, please help us to not be that kind of church, those kind of people. Help me not to be that kind of pastor, that kind of person. May the faith of people here be strengthened. May God be glorified. Help us to advance causes here, not just because we need to get things done, but so that believers would exercise their gifts in the Spirit. And we would all say, God, how great you are. We thank you for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're